So I faculty, E faculty, nose tongue, and so on. So this is the order given in Visuddhimagga. It is a little different. The order is a little different from that given in the manual of Abhidhamma. And then the commentator explains the words in Pali, Chakhu, Sota, and so on. But they are referred back to the basis. But the last three, so please look at the last three on the sheet. The fourth column, I shall something, and final knowledge, faculty, final knower faculty, and so on. So we have understanding faculty, I shall, etc. faculty, final knowledge faculty, and final knower faculty. Now, the last three are also understanding, or panya. So, understanding is also panya, and the last three are also panya. And the first one, I shall, etc., is panya at the moment of first magga. And final knowledge faculty means panya at the moment of first fruit, and then second path fruit, third path fruit, and fourth path. And final knower faculty is the last or the fourth fruit consciousness, arising with the fourth fruit consciousness. So the first one is first magga, first path. The middle one is the six in between, right? And the last one is the fourth fruit. So they are given a different name here. Each, I shall, etc., faculty, final knowledge faculty, and final knower faculty. So they are explained in paragraph 3. And then the word indriya, whose English translation is faculties, is explained in paragraph 4 and paragraph 5. Now, when explaining the word indriya, the Pali word indriya, the commentator just followed the aphorism given in the Sanskrit grammar by Panini. You can find the aphorism at the bottom of the page, 560. There you see, compare Panini 5293, Indriyam, Indralingam, Indradrishtam, Indrasrishtam, Indrajustam, Indradhatamitiwa. So this is the aphorism found in the Sanskrit grammar of Panini. And when explaining the word Indriya here, the commentator of Bodhugosa followed this aphorism. Only the last one is not taken, Indradatta. And in the word Indriya, there is the word Indra or Indra, right? So it is explained here that the word Indra or Indra means good or bad karma, kusala or akusala karma. Or it means the Buddha. So you if you understand this, then you will understand all. So the word Indriya, we have what the word Indra. Indra or Indra. And Indra is explained here to mean two things, right? One is what? Kusala or akusala karma. And the other is the Buddha. And then there is the ya, right? Or iya in the word Indriya. So the word, the suffix iya is explained to mean many things. That is what here, and the mark prepared by, and then taught by, seen by, fostered by. Now, when it is the mark, when we take the ear to mean mark, then the word inda means karma. The mark of karma is called faculty here. Because by looking at the one's eye, we can say he had good karma in the past or he had bad karma in the past. Because good karma creates good eye sensitivity and bad karma creates bad eye sensitivity. See, some people don't have to use eyeglasses all their lives, but some people have to use from childhood. So that depends on their karma, because the eye sensitivity is the result of karma. So we all had bad karma in the past, as long as the eye sensitivity is concerned, because we have to use glasses. But you had a good karma.
Well, it's just in the eyes.
So this is so we know good or bad karma from the eye, ear, and so on. So they are called mark of the good or bad karma. But here it is translated as mark of a ruler. The ruler here means good or bad karma. The second meaning is what? Prepared by karma. That means made by or caused by karma. Ruler here means karma also. Now, the third meaning is being taught by. So taught by, it is not taught by karma, but taught by Buddha. So the third meaning is taught by, that which is taught by the Buddha. And the fourth meaning is what? Seen by. Again, seen by the Buddha. And then the last meaning is fostered by. So fostered by the Buddha. That means ruler of Sujata. In his cultivation of domain and some in his cultivation of development. So cultivation of domain simply means he takes them as object. And cultivation of development means he develops them. So Buddha cultivated these faculties were cultivated by the Buddha, and that is why they are called, say, cultivated by the Buddha. I mean, indriya. So how did Buddha cultivate them? Buddha cultivated them in two ways. One is taking them as object. That means when Buddha take Nibbana as object and entered into attainment, and it means he is fostering Nibbana by way of taking it as object. And at other times he may be practicing, he may be in some other attainment, and so in that case he is cultivating, he is in the cultivation of development. So Buddha reacts or acts towards Dhamma in two ways, taking as object and also making them happen in his mind. So fostered by a ruler, that means fostered by the Buddha. So there are altogether how many meanings? Actually, five meanings. The first meaning is what? Mark of karma. The second meaning is prepared by karma. The third meaning is taught by the Buddha. The fourth meaning is seen by the Buddha. The fifth meaning is fostered by the Buddha. Now, D should be B, right? In about the middle of the paragraph 5. Oh, A, B, A, D, B, C, E. No. Oh, I think he is following the sequence given there in paragraph 4, A, B, C, and so on. So his is also correct. Mm-hmm. So being the mark of a ruler, having been prepared by a ruler, that means by
karma.
By karma. and taught by a ruler, by the Buddha, seen by the Buddha, and fostered by the Buddha, right? And then the others are not difficult to understand, say, characteristic and so on, and as to the order. And then as divided and undivided, paragraph 9, here there is only division of the life faculty. Only life faculty has division. The others are only one. For that is twofold as the material life faculty and the immaterial life faculty. You know, jivita, there are two kinds of jivitas. Nama jivita and rupa jivita. The mental jivita and physical jivita. So they are of, it is of two kinds and the others are only one kind. There is no division of the others. And then their function. Their function is actually, since they are called faculties or indriyas, that means they are predominant. So they make others follow their ways. That is what is meant by the word indriya. Indriya means making other people follow your follow his wish. That is indriya. Exercising his wish over others. So here the eye faculty's function is to cause by its own keenness, slowness, etc., the occurrence of eye consciousness and associated states, etc., in a mode parallel to its own. That means making them follow its own mode. That means when you have a good eye sensitivity, you had good eye consciousness. When you have eye bad eye sensitivity, you had bad eye consciousness. So the keenness, or I don't think slowness is good here, it should be dullness. So keenness and dullness, etc. So the keenness and dullness of the eye consciousness is governed by the keenness and dullness of eye sensitivity. That is why eye sensitivity has something like an authority over eye consciousness. It is how it functions. So the meaning of indriya or faculty is, say, to exercise authority over. And then to go down, the different functions are, say, mentioned, and they are not difficult to understand. So about last four lines. That of the final knowledge faculty is both to attenuate and abandon respectively lust, ill will, etc., and to subject cognizant states to its own mastery. Now, final knowledge means the knowledge between the first magga and the last fruit. You know, first magga, first fruit, second magga, second fruit, and so on. So the first mark, the understanding concomitant with the first part is called I shall and so on. And then the knowledge or understanding concomitant with first fruit until the fourth magga is called final knowledge, right? So the final knowledge faculty is both to attenuate and abandon, respectively, lust, ill will, etc. Attenuate refers to the second path, because the second path does not eradicate any more mental defilements, but it makes the remaining mental defilements weaker and weaker. So it attenuates. So attenuate is for second magga. And abandon is for third and fourth magga. Because third magga abandons sensual desire and ill will altogether. And then the fourth magga eradicates the remaining mental defilements. So attenuate refers to second magga. Abandon refers to third and fourth maggas. And that of the final knower, that is the last one. faculty is both to abandon endeavor and all functions, because it has already done its own duty, and so there is no more to be done. And as to plane, that means which faculty belong to which plane. So the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and so on, they belong to sense sphere, kama, vajra, because they are all rupas. The mind faculty, life faculty, and equanimity faculty, and the faculties of faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and understanding are included in the four planes. That means they belong to all four planes. Kama vajra, rupa vajra, arupa vajra, and lokottara. Because mind faculty, life faculty, and so on are mind faculty is the consciousness, and life faculty and others are mental states or chittisikas. So they are included in all four planes. That the joy faculty is included in three planes, somanasa, namely sense sphere, fine material sphere, and supramundane, not immaterial sphere. The last three are supramundane only. That is, the last three means I shall come to know, and so on. This is how the exposition should be known here as to play. So according to this, we understand that eye faculty belongs to sense sphere, ear faculty belongs to sense sphere, and so on, and mind faculty belongs to four planes, and so on. So four planes means four spheres, right? Kama vajra, rupa vajra, I mean fine material sphere, arupa vajra, immaterial sphere, and lokottara is also called a sphere, not included here. It comprises only of three, right? Kama vajra, rupa vajra, and arupa vajra. Now, if you look at this sheet. Now let us go through the basis, elements, and faculties. Because in order to please its listeners or susceptibility of the listeners, Buddha taught in different ways. One and the same thing is called a base, an element, a faculty, and so on. So here, I've colored them. So I base, I element, and I faculty are one and the same thing. They are actually I sensitivity.
The same thing?
Yeah, oh. They mean the same thing. So the same color.
Different way of.
Yeah. So sometimes it is called I base. Sometimes I element. Sometimes I faculty. But the same thing. So ear, nose, tongue, body, base, ear, nose, tongue, body, element, ear, nose, tongue, body, faculty, same thing. And then, let's go to visible database. Visible database, visible data element, same thing. Sound, odor, flavor, tangible database, and tangible data element, they mean the same thing. But, mind base, it is a little different. Now, mind base means all chetas, right? So, in the elements, mind base is divided into eight. Mind element, and then eye consciousness element, and so on. Right? Oh, I mean seven, not eight. Seven, it is called Vijnana Dhatu, they are called seven consciousness elements. So mind base is divided into seven elements here. Mind element, eye consciousness element, and so on. So mind element means, again, the three in my chart number 28, 18, and 25. So it's a mind element, right? 28, 18, and 25. And then eye consciousness element means, in the chart, number 13 and 20. Ear consciousness element, 14 and 21. nose 15 and 22, tongue 16 and 23, body consciousness element 17 and 24. All the others are mind consciousness element. And among the faculties, mind faculty and mind based are the same. So mind based means all consciousness, and mind faculty also means all consciousness. Now we come to Dhamma, mental database. I want to call it Dhamma base. So Dhamma base and Dhamma element are the same. But in faculties, they are mentioned in different ways. So femininity faculty, masculinity faculty, life faculty, and pleasure means sukha, pain means dukkha, joy means somanasa, grief means domanasa, mental. Equanimity means upekha. So the first, pleasure and pain are bodily, pleasure and bodily pain. Joy, grief, and equanimity are mental. And then faith faculty, that means just faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and understanding. And then there are the other three kinds of understanding also. So they all belong to what? Dhamma element or Dhamma base. No color. You may color a red or any other color, or you can just leave them as they are. So they femininity belongs to what element? Dhamma element. What base? Dhamma base, and so on. So this way you have a clear vision of bases, elements, and faculties. So when you read the Wisuddhi Vimagga again, and please have it ready and refer to it. Okay. We can go a little into the truth. Satya. So the Pali word satya is translated as truth here. And then meaning will come later. So here, and as to class, the meanings of the truths of suffering, etc., analyzed as four in each case that are real, not unreal, not otherwise, and must be penetrated by those penetrating suffering, etc., according as it is said. So that are said to be four meanings each of the truth. So suffering's meaning is oppressing, being formed, burning, and changing. So these four meanings belong to the first truth. And then to the second truth, what? Accumulating, souls, bondage, and impending. And then the third truth, meaning escape, seclusion, being unformed, and deathlessness. And the fourth truth meaning is outlet, cause, seeing, and predominant. So these are the path meanings of the four meanings of the path. Likewise, suffering's meaning of oppression, oppressing, meaning of being formed, meaning of burning, meaning of change, are its meaning of penetration too, and so on. So suffering, etc., should be understood according to the four meanings analyzed in each case. So they are the meanings of the first four are the meanings of dukkha. When you look at dukkha, when you concentrate on dukkha, you see that it is oppressing, and it is being formed, it is burning, or it burns us, and it is also changing, and so on. And then as to derivation and division by character, etc. So the derivation of the word dukkha, samudaya, nirodha, and nirodha gamini padibada are given in paragraph 16, 17, 18, and 19. And they may be fanciful, but if you take the light in, finding about the words, I think it will be interesting. So dukkha is said to be coming from du and ka, right? In the 16th. And du is bad, and ka is what do you call? Dukkha. The word du is met with in the sense of vile, of bad, of vile. And then ka means empty. So, something which is bad or something which is vile and empty is called dukkha. And the first truth is vile because it is the haunt of many dangers. And it is empty because it is devoid of the lustingness, beauty, pleasure and self conceived by rash people. So it is called dukkha, badness, suffering, pain, because of vileness and emptiness. Now, when if we do not go further and apply it to sukha, it is all right. But if we try to explain sukha in this way, we run into difficulties. Because the word sukha, happiness, right? Sukha, says, let us say su means good. But ka, if ka is to mean devoid of lustingness, devoid of beauty, devoid of pleasure, devoid of self, then what about nibbana? Nibbana is called the highest sukha. Nibbana ever lasts forever. Nibbana is could be said to be beauty, and nibbana is pleasure. Only nibbana is not self. So, if we apply similarly the explanation given here to sukha, then we run into trouble. So it is just an explanation of the word. And samudaya has three parts: sam, ut, aya. So sam has the meaning of concourse or coming together, and ut or u mean rising up, coming up, so to up. And then aya denotes a reason. So, say coming together, rising up, reason. That is the meaning of the word samudaya, the second noble truth, origin of suffering. And this second truth is the reason for the arising of suffering when combined with remaining conditions. So reason, reason for the arising when combined with remaining conditions. When it comes together with other conditions, that means it is not the only condition of dukkha, but it is a prominent condition of dukkha, because there are other conditions too, like ignorance. So without ignorance there can be no craving. So craving is said to be here the origin of dukkha, but it does not mean that craving is the only origin of dukkha, but it is a prominent one. That is why it is called the origin of dukkha. But the others, like ignorance, is also the origin of dukkha. So when it comes into combination with other conditions, it produces dukkha. So it is the reason or cause for the arising of suffering when combined with the remaining conditions. And then the next one is Nirodha, the third noble truth, Nibbana. But here, Nirodha is divided into Ni and Rodha. And Ni means no, absence. And Rodha means a prison. Rodha really means restriction. So when you are in prison, you are restricted. So Nibbana is opposite of death, no restriction, freedom. So Nibbana is called Dukkha Nirodha, but it is just translated as cessation of suffering. And then Nirodha Gamini Patipada. So that is the way leading to cessation. The fourth noble truth is called Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada. So the way leading to the cessation of suffering. And then, the word, in the Pali word, Ariya Satya, is explained in full in four ways. Paragraph 20, 21, and 22. Now, according to paragraph 21, the Ariya, let us say Ariya Satya, Ariya Truth. Ariya Truth means truth to be penetrated by Ariya. Or Ariya penetratable truth becomes Ariya Truth. That is paragraph 20. According to paragraph 21, the first part of paragraph 21, Ariya Truth means the truth of the Ariya. And the Ariya means the Buddha. The truth of the Buddha. Or Ariya's truth, or Buddha's truth. And the third one, middle of the paragraph 21, beginning with all or alternatively. So according to that passage, Ariya truth means truth that make people into Ariyas. That means when you penetrate the truth, you become an Ariya. So, a truth that makes people into Ariyas. And the fourth one is paragraph 22. That means real truth. Ariya Satya. The Pali word Ariya Satya means real truth. The truth which is real, which is not unreal, and so on. So, the word Ariya Satya is explained in four ways. It is usually translated as noble truth, right? Yeah. But noble truth means here, according to paragraph 22, noble here means true. The true truth or real truth. And then as to division by character, etc. and so on. So, and then paragraph 24, as to meaning, tracing out of the meaning. As to meaning, firstly, what is the meaning of truth? Now, the word satya, truth, is here explained. And in this explanation, the last line of the page, with the eye of understanding, is not misleading like an illusion. And misleading really means untrue. It's not untrue like an illusion. The word illusion is the translation of the Pali word maya, M-A-Y-A, which can mean magic. So magic is untrue. So when you go to magic shows, they show you things that are untrue, but you think they are true. So like magic. Deceptive like a mirror, and or undiscoverable like the self of the sectarians, and so on. And then the paragraph 25, there is no pain but is affliction, and not that is not pain afflicts. The meaning is there is no dukkha which does not afflict. And there is nothing other than dukkha that afflicts. Something like that. And then paragraph 26, tracing out the meaning. Here, the meaning of the word satya, the meanings of the word satya are given in this paragraph. So satya can mean what? The first one. Verbal truth. So verbal truth. So saying something true can is also called satya. And then the next one is abstinence from lying is also called satya. And the third one is what? Truth as views. So view is also called truth. And in such passages as truth is one, there is no second, it is truth in the ultimate sense, both Nibbana and the path. And then in such passages as of the four truths, how many are profitable, it is noble truth, the fourfold truth. And here too, it is proper as noble truth. This is how the exposition should be understood as to tracing out the meaning. So sometimes the commentary has the habit of showing us many meanings of a word, and then at the end it said, among these meanings, and this is proper here, or that is proper here. That means giving the meanings the word can denote, and then choosing the one appropriate here. So here also, satya can mean verbal truth, it can mean abstinence from lying and so on. But here, what is proper is just noble truth. And then as to 27, paragraph 27, as to neither less nor more, that is, no fewer than four and no more than four noble truths, and the first quotation cannot be traced. But second quotation is from Sanyutta Nikaya. And then as to the order, I think they are not difficult. And then as to expounding birth and so on. Now here, from here comes the detailed exposition of the four noble truths. Now the noble truths are described by the Buddha as, see, the first one is noble truth of suffering, right? So it is expounded as birth is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair are suffering, association with the unloved is suffering, separation from the loved is suffering, and not to get what one wants is suffering. In short, the five aggregates as objects of clinging are suffering and so on. So these explanations you find in the first sama, the setting in motion of the wheel of Dharma also. And then he explains them in detail. So we will not come to the end of this explanation tonight. I think let's stop here.